I'm talking to Maverick Welch, who is one of the candidates for City Council District 8 special election in May. Maverick, first question I'd like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
Well, I'm running because I've been a teacher, a civic leader, public servant. I've got a lot of experience working with people in the north side. I taught at Jeff Davis High School and Reagan High School. I was the president of my civic club in the largest historic district in town, the North Hill Historic District. And then after that, served as chief staff to council member Peter Brown. I think I've got the experience and the desire to really help the people in District H.
Okay, now, as you have worked already in city government as chief of staff to council member Brown, how does that, how will that experience benefit you on council?
Well, I think, serving as a council member is really a lot about the relationships that you build up over time, and having served as a chief of staff allowed me to build a lot of relationships with other council members, department heads, the mayor, the controller, and I think in a strong mayor system, it's really those relationships that allow you to get stuff done for your district as a council member. And I don't have to build or work on building new relationships. I already have relationships with a lot of the decision makers in the city, and I think that will really help me hit the ground running right after being elected.
Okay. One of your themes in your campaign is preservation, and neighborhood preservation. I've asked all the candidates about this, but what specifically would you like to see council do to strengthen or enhance preservation ordinances for neighborhoods?
Well, in particular, I was actually up at council, about a week ago, for the strengthening of the historic preservation ordinance, pushing it from 90 days to 180 days. I think that's a great step in the right direction for historic preservation. I'm really happy with that. Another amendment that Councilmember Lawrence put on the table, which was approved, was expanding the members of the Archaeological and Historic Commission by four to include four more members of historic districts and or contributing structures in historic districts. So I think those are really encouraging moves. I just really want to see more preservation in the city. I feel really passionate about it. I really got involved in historic preservation when I was a teacher at Reagan High School, and my students asked me to get involved, and particularly in Sunset Heights. They asked me to come speak for them as there were a lot of new developments going in there. And I want to be very clear, I'm not anti-development. I just think that some parts of the city, like Norhill, my neighborhood, are a great example of an historic neighborhood that really needs to be preserved. There are other parts of the city that obviously you want to be redeveloped. But specifically, I absolutely am in favor of that recent passage of the strengthening of the historic preservation ordinance.
Okay. We're in kind of tough economic times right now. What should the city of Houston be doing with its budget to respond to the economic climate that we're in right now?
Well, there are a couple of ways to look at it. I think the controller and the mayor have done a great job in managing the city's finances. I think Houston's in a lot better position than most other major United States cities. But we are in a tough economic environment, and I think there's a short-term approach and a long-term approach to fixing the state of the economy in Houston. I think the city of Houston needs an economic development office. And we've got the Greater Houston Partnership, and they do a good job attracting business regionally. But I think we need an economic development office here in Houston, the city of Houston, to attract jobs for the city of Houston. Suburbs like Pearland have very successful economic development offices where they go out, they knock on the doors of businesses, and they provide incentives for businesses to come to Houston or come to Pearland. I think we need to do the same thing as far as the city of Houston goes. Now, another more long-term approach to helping the city's finances is attracting really good quality development to the city of Houston. Big projects, small projects, projects that will expand the tax base over the long run so that you get a much lower burden on average residential taxpayers by having larger projects. Like Regent Square, I think, is a great example of a project that's going to really help the tax base of the city of Houston over the long term. There are another series of projects that are going in along Washington Avenue that I think are going to really improve the tax base over the long run. You know, we've got to look at strategies that'll really help, you know, expand the tax base.
Okay. Well, if you're talking about sort of infrastructure work, the CIP for District H came out recently.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your critique of the CIP and, you know, what you think should be prioritized and what perhaps should be modified or added to.
Well, I think in regards to the CIP, you know, District H contains some of the oldest neighborhoods in the city of Houston. And as such, there's a great need to really update the infrastructure in a lot of our neighborhoods. You know, just drive around District H, you see, you know, open gutters, drainage problems. I would really like to see more of a focus on a neighborhood focus for the CIP, where you've got a lot more money going to rebuilding and reconstructing neighborhood streets and sidewalks. I think we've got, you know, there are a couple of parts of the district where it's just really dangerous. Particularly, you know, I'm a former teacher, so I look at it as a teacher also. You got a lot of kids walking to school, and you want really safe sidewalks. Right over here on Nisho, a lot of the kids from Hogg Middle School walk to school, and they don't have sidewalks on a large part of Nisho, which is a really busy street. And I think it's a dangerous situation. We've got to have more of a focus on you know, safe sidewalks for kids and anybody else who wants to use them. So more of a neighborhood focus on spending that money to rebuild streets and sidewalks in neighborhoods is what I'd like to see.
Okay. There's been a lot of concern expressed recently about crime in the city of Houston and in the district. What would you like to see council do to address some of these concerns?
Well, I absolutely believe in more accountability and transparency on the part of crime in particular. You know, as a former teacher, I was held accountable. I had to produce results, and I have no problem with that. I think our police department needs to do the same thing. And I think they are doing a pretty good job of it. The problem is that they're not engaging the public the way that they should. In cities like Los Angeles and New York, you can go to the website. I would suggest that you go to the LAPD website, and what you get is a real-time GIS map of crime in broken down by neighborhoods. I'd love to see a more neighborhood-oriented program for policing and just more accountability and transparency. I think the public could be a great partner for HPD and wants to be a great partner for HPD. So, you know, I think HPD really needs to do a better job of communicating to the public and engaging the public in the process, because they're there, they want to participate, they want to fight crime. Nobody wants crime in their neighborhoods. It's a really emotional issue. And without that level of transparency, when a high-profile criminal event takes place, people get a gut reaction, and they you know, justifiably get scared that crime is, you know, out of control in an area, when that may not be the case. And if HPD is communicating to the public what the real crime rates are in an area, I think the public can make a better educated decision about where to live and how to fight crime in their areas.
Okay. Metro, as you know, just recently signed a construction contract to build the next couple of light rail lines. I'd like to get your opinion of that, but I'd also like to ask you, you know, if you're elected, you know, most likely you'll serve three terms through 2015. Metro, you know, the current phase of Metro's construction is supposed to be all done by the end of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So looking forward, you know, where do you want to see Metro go? What do you want to see Metro do beyond what they're doing right now?
Well, there are a couple things I'd really love to see Metro do. You know, we're developing a really good light rail system inside the loop and some parts outside the loop. But I'd love to see the expansion of a rail line up through the Washington Avenue corridor, through Memorial Park and connecting to the Northwest Transit Center. And you know, that in combination with commuter rail out to the suburbs is really, I think, the solution. You've got to tie that system into a really well-developed commuter rail system that goes out to the suburbs. So the people in Katy can ride, instead of hopping on the freeway, they can ride commuter rail into the light rail system, connect with that, and then go to work in the gallery or downtown or wherever they happen to go. So that, to me, I think is the next phase for Metro. Another thing that I'd really like to see is more transit-oriented development along the Metro rail lines. You know, mixed-use, walkable development that gets people walking, pedestrian-style development. That, you know, I think if you look over on West Gray, there's been a lot of really good development just along West Gray. I'd like to see more mixed-use development with larger sidewalks. I'd say a minimum 8 to 10 foot sidewalks, parking in the rear, to really get people out there walking along these rail lines.
Okay. I-45, TxDOT had been talking about doing an expansion on that a few years ago. There was a lot of pushback from neighborhoods and residents.
I was one of the people pushing back.
that kind of went quiet for a little while, but it seems to be starting up again.
Mm-hmm.
What, as that goes forward, as it will, what do you want to see from TxDOT, and how do you want that process to go?
Well, I think TxDOT really needs to do a much better job of listening to the neighborhoods and the people who live in those neighborhoods, because one thing that I really heard a lot of when I was fighting that fight as a president of the Proctor Plaza Neighborhood Association, they seemed ready and willing to just bulldoze large numbers of houses, historic houses, over in Germantown and Woodland Heights, as you know. And they just seemed completely oblivious to what the public or the city of Houston had to say on that. And I have a big problem with that. And I think that their focus is too suburban in mindset. They don't seem to have much concerns for people that live close to downtown. They just seem to have a focus of let's get as many highway lanes as possible. And I don't think that's the solution. I think you've got to have rail as part of a solution. You can't just expand the freeways indefinitely, and there are creative ways to deal with it that don't require expansion of easement for I-45 or any other freeway for that matter. I mean, we saw what happened on I-10 when all those businesses were destroyed along there. Now it's a vastly expanded freeway in size. One problem is they took up the rail easement along there. I would have loved to have seen some kind of rail going out I-10. I think that's what really alleviates a lot of traffic on these freeways is commuter rail.
Okay. The city recently began a pilot expansion of their recycling program. Some neighborhoods
mm-hmm.
getting bigger bins and where they don't have to separate
mm-hmm.
different streams of recyclables, and they can now include glass.
Mm-hmm.
The goal being to increase the participation rates for curbside recycling
mm-hmm.
and increase the total volume of waste that City of Houston recycles. What's your opinion of this, and what else should the city be doing to try and improve recycling rates?
Well, that's actually a really exciting program that we worked on when I worked in Councilmember Brown's office. Councilmember Brown is the chair of the city's Sustainable Growth Committee. And, we approved this pilot program on that committee, pushed up the council, approved it. And I think it's a really important first step to increase recycling in the city of Houston. We've got a really low percentage of our waste stream going into recycling in Houston. I think it's under 10%, somewhere around 7% if I'm correct. We need to do a lot more to increase that. Cities like Seattle and Portland have some really exciting programs that we looked at, one of which is how to encourage the public to recycle more. You've got these very large covered bins that they're using in Seattle, similar to what our normal trash bins are here in Houston. It's important with recycling, particularly paper waste, that you don't want it to be exposed to the weather and rain and all that, because it'll make it more difficult to recycle. So in cities like Seattle, they give you a very large container very similar to what we already have for our landfill waste here in Houston. They give that to you for free and allow you to mix your recyclables, because they have single stream recycling facilities where they can separate all the waste out into its different constituent parts. Then what they do is they give you a choice as to what size container you want to purchase to go to landfill. Okay, so if you recycle a lot and put a really small amount in landfill, like what I do, I recycle a lot. I usually have much more stuff to recycle than I do going to landfill. You get a really small container, maybe a milk crate size container, and you can put all your landfill waste in that container, and you pay a very small amount for that. All the way up, it's a staggered system. So if you want to put a lot of stuff in a landfill, basically you're going to pay a lot more for it. And so what it does is it really incentivizes the public to recycle more. It's an exciting program, and Seattle's gotten, I think, around 70% of their waste stream going into recycling. So, we got to look at results. How are we going to get results? And they got results in Seattle. I don't see why we can't do the same thing in Houston.
Okay. As you know, we're going to be electing a new mayor this November.
Mm-hmm. I'm out of the mayor race business.
Yeah. What aspects of Mayor White's tenure as mayor would you like to see the new mayor continue? And what aspects of Mayor White's tenure as mayor would you like to see the new mayor not continue?
Well, I think one thing that I've been so impressed with Mayor White, and I want to be very clear, I've been a supporter of Mayor White's for a long time. I think his great gift is bringing different groups of people to the table together. And he's a great consensus builder, and I saw that from afar as a civic club president, and I saw it up close as a chief of staff to a council member. He's a unique leader who's got the ability to bring people together. For example, over along Washington Avenue, there's a redevelopment process going in along Washington Avenue, and Mayor White brought all the developers and civic leaders together to the same table, where they're going to work out some standards for developing Washington Avenue and developing it in a way that's sustainable and will produce some great tax revenue and increases in quality of life over the long term for people. And that's because the mayor brought everybody together. And so I think that's his great strength, bringing people together. One thing I'd love to see change is more of a focus on bringing wages up for particularly city workers. I think, city workers in Houston are paid about 20-21% less than neighboring cities. And I think there needs to be more of a focus on living wages for city workers and those who contract with the city. I just think it's so important to take care of average everyday workers, and that's how you really help the economy, by helping to create living wages for workers. And the mayor approved a new contract for Hope, which I think was great, but I'd really like to see an increase in living wages for people. That's just personally important to me, but as a teacher, I taught a lot of kids that were economically disadvantaged, and it means a lot to me personally to make sure that people are taken care of. So.
There are 9 candidates in this race in May. What distinguishes you from the other candidates?
Well, I'm the one with the experience actually working at City Hall, running a council office. I've run a council office. I've worked on the city budget. I've also been a teacher and in the district at two of the major high schools, Jefferson Davis High School and Reagan High School. I've got that experience working with the community. Another thing that differentiates me is I'm the only candidate to be a president of an historic district, and also I was the president of my civic club for 2 years. So I have a very service-oriented mindset when it comes to my life, and I don't think that's going to change at all when I'm elected council member. I think it'll just give me another opportunity to serve. So I think that very clearly differentiates me from a lot of my opponents.
Okay. Maverick Wells, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Charles. A pleasure, sir.